We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is Happy New Year 2026 out there. I'm going to get my Planet Fitness funny hat to wear. If you saw our segment that Luke and I did with funny hats at Planet Fitness and Timonium last week, off to the new year, a buck down, and you're off to like a healthier thing, and certainly healthier for me. If I could eat some of Mr. Rooney's cookies on a Sunday night in Pittsburgh, like this guy, we're putting the family roadster together. And we're heading back up to the Berg on Sunday night, and we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all of it presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have candy cane cash, maybe a Festivus playoff edition of the show. If we lean into that next week, Luke Jones is now here. He will be there in Owings Mills here through New Year's Eve and through the holiday to monitor all things Lamar and injury. If you're on the WNST text service, by the way, I'm dreaming things up for the WNST text service that are going to be fun and contest oriented. Jump on that. You get breaking news first. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Speaking of that, before we do any confluence here, I was going to be flippant and funny with you, but Zach Eflin back with the Orioles, speaking of the tech service on Sunday night, right? So you're in the know when you're in the know and you get it all first. And we'll have a, you got anything on the Zach Eflin? You like Eflin, right? Good thing, right?
I like it as long as there's still a top of the rotation guy
Yeah, you're
coming,
going to get,
right?
you want him to spend some real money. I got you. I got you.
I like Eflin as an option for the back of the rotation. If that's the case, then hey, thumbs up. Kind of like I talked about the Shane Boz. Like if there's another bigger move coming, then I like those moves even more. So we'll see.
Okay. We're playing a football game in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, and let's take away everything we've talked about, and we'll get back to this. Renegade, Tomlin and the Fryer Monday morning if they lose. I still think if they go up on Sunday night and they lose and some blow a double-digit lead, fumble the ball, something is perceived as Harbaugh's fault. Wait, they're going to play with the backup quarterback at least for now, and we're going to have all week into the. By 2026, we'll know if Lamar's playing on Sunday night or not. I look, man, soup to nuts with this whole thing. There's so much meat on the bone here, just on the Green Bay game for the Ravens side, defensively, offensively, Steelers, and where they are in DK Metcalf. This has got all the markings, right? There's a reason the NFL flexes this into Sunday night. The lights will be on. And I really do believe, despite the mediocrity that you and I can go through and, blow holes in both of their boats about whatever it is, their coaching, their quarterback, their scouting, their line play, whatever it would be, it's pretty juicy. This is about as good as it gets, other than them both being 11-4 and playing this game, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about a 9-7 team playing an 8-8 team for the division in week 18, there were clearly some warts and some significant warts for both teams and some trials that both teams went through and imperfections and reasons why, let's face it, this is a punchline for a lot of people, not because of the teams themselves, but when you just look at the records, right? I mean, we all remember. What was it? The Saints playing the Seahawks and the Marshawn Lynch game, right? But whenever you have a team that's 500 or sub 500 or a game over 500 at 9-8, you kind of look at it and say, oh, and the league wants to expand the playoffs even more. I mean, we want more teams like this in. So, but that aside, it's the Ravens and the Steelers, right? It's the first time these teams have ever played a winner take all elimination game in week 18, right? They've had some, the Christmas game in 2016 was close to it. Remember, Pittsburgh sealed up the division with that win and knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs, but that was the penultimate week of the season. So this is, whenever the league gets this, they love it. I mean, they actually have a few of these. Obviously the Carolina-Tampa Bay game, which has way less appeal because those teams don't have the cachet that Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Aaron Rodgers and maybe Lamar Jackson, but definitely Derrick Henry, that carry. Whereas, Tampa Bay is the team that Tom Brady went there for a couple of years and won a Super Bowl, and Carolina is Carolina, right? I mean, people in Charlotte barely care about the Panthers, let alone the rest of the country. But you have that. And even the Saturday night game, it's for the NFC West and the number one seed. So that's not a knockout game, but The NFL loves how this broke. I mean, yeah, in an ideal world, the Ravens and the Steelers would be, better records, would be in better shape. DK Metcalf would be playing. TJ Watt would be playing. Lamar Jackson would be playing. One team would be 11-5 and the other would be 10-6, let's say. Make it look a little bit better in that way. But, it's still Ravens Steelers. And as we talked about in our previous segment, as we'll continue to talk about all the way into Sunday night, no matter what this looks like on paper, and I'm in full agreement that on paper, it's trending favorably towards the Ravens, not just because of the results of this weekend, but just where these teams are health-wise, which is crazy to say that, and not health-wise, personnel-wise, because Metcalf's not an injury. It's crazy to say that because I'm saying that with the acknowledgement of Lamar Jackson's status being unknown and in doubt here until it's not. But what they were able to do with Tyler Huntley, no, it's not a great passing game with him. It hasn't been a great passing game for most of the season, right? I mean, even with Lamar playing, it was throw the ball to Zay Flowers and then hope, right? I mean, that's kind of what their passing game has been. That's a factor I look at and say that's where I'm skeptical that they can make a deep January run if they win on Sunday night. But can Derrick Henry carry you to victory on Sunday night? Sure. I mean, we've seen Pittsburgh have its issues stopping the run here in recent history, even to the Ravens. We'll go back to the last two games last year when Derrick Henry ran all over them. It's a mindset. I'll say this. I'm not sure that the Ravens are just going to expect to line up and run Derrick Henry 36 times for 216 yards, to that degree of success against Pittsburgh that they did against Green Bay. I mean, it's an AFC North opponent. There's more familiarity there, but that's still going to be the form. That's still going to be what they're going to try to use to carry them the victory, right? That they're going to try to run ball control and run the ball, and whether it's Tyler Huntley or Lamar Jackson. Let's face it, even if Lamar is coming back, this isn't a game that profiles that you're going to throw it around the field 40 times, right? I think even if Lamar comes back, I think the game plan needs to be the same. I think you want to be in a position where you're only throwing the ball when, either when you absolutely have to, or if it's advantageous, a spot that they're kind of expecting you to run, and then you can throw and you can catch them off guard. I mean, what was it? The first play of the game on a Saturday night, they ran a play action pass to Andrews. It worked well, right? And then they got into Derrick Henry and Derrick Henry and Derrick Henry. So there are different ways you can do that. The idea isn't to just make it 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but yeah, I think there's going to be plenty of that, right? I mean, shame on them if they don't ride Derrick Henry until he can't go anymore. I mean, that's just where it is at this point when we're into the month of January, and they're playing a playoff game Sunday night,
But wasn't
right?
that the way it was always going to be? Isn't the way we drew it up when I
I
was in my
think, I
dreams 2 years
guess.
ago, bringing Derrick Henry in? Wasn't it like over these 5 weeks, we're going to do that to you? And they got a quarterback that can razzle dazzle. He ran 8 times for 60 yards, runs better than Lamar right now. And I'll throw this to you to sort of widen the conversation a little bit in a week where we're going to, have New Year's, and there'll be plenty of oxygen to talk about all of this stuff on the other side of what happens to Lamar, what happens to Harbaugh, what happens to Tomlin, what happens to these franchises for the winners and the losers as it goes on. But for this week and for my purposes and the thought of Lamar and discussing him, I almost feel better about Snoop Huntley playing than I would a debilitated Lamar. I don't think they'll hold Lamar back from playing on Sunday. But I have a feeling 100% of Snoop Huntley at this point is better than 80% of Lamar when the leg's already an issue and all
Yeah.
of that. And I don't know that, but I think going out and losing with a gimpy Lamar would be not so good for anybody. I don't
Yeah.
know where that decision is, because in every other week it's been Lamar, Lamar, Lamar. We got to get Lamar on the field. I don't know, man. Huntley gave me some thought going into Green Bay with this running game. That not that he's the better option overall, it's
Oh,
Lamar Jackson.
course.
But maybe right now, and that's a hell of a thermometer for him, his mother, his agent, how he's playing it, going out and losing when he doesn't feel like he can do what he's supposed to do, where his latitude to put himself on the field or take
Yeah.
himself off the field, right? Like he runs the building kind of sort of, right? And Man, it's complicated.
It
It's more
is.
complicated in just the game than the division this week because of his health. Because of his health.
Yeah, and there's a lot of nuance here, right? I mean, it let's not, and I see some of the debate on social media, and that's where, obviously there's no nuance or very
Well, this
little
isn't
nuance.
Barstool, and we're not in the gutter, right? That's why people
But there's
listen to us,
nuance
so.
to this in the sense that if Lamar can play okay, but where is that, right? We know it's not just a pass-fail proposition, right? I've talked about this a lot. I mean, this goes all the way back to what was it, 2021, going into 22, when they had all the season-ending injuries and guys coming back from ACLs and things of that nature. And you always talk about it in terms of, okay, there's healthy enough to play and there's healthy enough to thrive. And that's where the question will come into this week, especially with a back, right? Even with taking a Toradol shot or a numbing agent or whatever it might be, there's still the question of range of motion. He might be feeling pretty good, but how well is he moving, right? A 50-year-old can feel pretty good. That doesn't mean he's going to move as well as a 35-year-old compared to a 20-year-old, right? I mean, like, so these are the types of things we all deal with on a daily, everyday basis when we're just getting up and going to work or taking your kids to school or what have you. But it's a far different animal when you're talking about a professional athlete, and especially in a sport like football, where you need to protect yourself and you need to be able to move at the highest level and be as healthy as you can be. Now, if the threshold is Lamar has to be 100%, no questions asked, then yeah. I'm really skeptical that he's going to be ready Sunday night, and that's kind of what we have been talking about for the better part of the season, right? I mean, in terms of what he's looked like, in terms of the immediate future, I think there is nuance to this in terms of what Tyler Huntley was able to do. Not so much from a passing standpoint. I mean, he was very efficient from a completion percentage standpoint. He was at 80%, but he completed 16 passes for 107 yards, right? He was at 5.4 yards per pass attempt. It's not a great passing game right there. He threw to the outside, threw underneath, got the ball out quickly, which, hey, with the state of this offensive line in a big picture sense, how many times have you heard me say I'd like to see the Ravens play more quick game with Lamar Jackson? So they did that kind of thing with Tyler Huntley. Can you ride that approach to a Super Bowl? No, I don't think so. And I think that's where, you get into the if they win Sunday night, where's Lamar at that point? Because you're gonna if this team, going back to your point where you're saying that how they can still win a Super Bowl, if they can, not that they will, but they can, Lamar Jackson's gonna have to be back on the field. They're not riding Derrick Henry and Tyler Huntley to a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not going to believe that. But for Sunday night, can they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers with that approach? Yeah. And that's where you do look at this and say, where is Lamar physically, right? Okay. Maybe he's back on the practice field. Maybe he's back on Wednesday. Maybe he's back on Thursday. Is he limited? How does he look? How's he looking throwing the ball? But I think that the interesting dynamic, again, is going back to what Huntley was able to do with his legs, which watching him do what he did, and obviously, he carried eight times compared to Derrick Henry at 36, right? We're not talking about him running the ball a ton, but when he ran, when he scrambled, when the couple times where it was a design run to the quarterback, it looked good, right? I mean, he carries for 60 yards. We haven't seen that version of Lamar Jackson for quite some time because of the injuries. And I'm not, it's not even getting into this discussion of what that looks like next year and beyond, or a long-term question. Just in the here and now, we haven't seen that from Lamar. So that's where you do look at this thing and say, yeah, all things being equal, if Lamar's healthy enough to play, he's going to play, right? I mean, if he's healthy enough to play and he's, I don't know, 90%, right? He's going to be out there. But if it's an iffier version of him, if it's a version of him that kind of goes back to what we were talking about, how he looked 5, 6 weeks ago with his legs, but also now his back. Yeah, I think there is some discussion here in terms of what's best for them for right now, what's best for them in terms of beating Pittsburgh. Because again, forget about Houston, forget about all the teams in the AFC that you might run into if you do make the tournament. You have to get there first. I mean, you just do, or it's over, right? In the same way that it was tough for anyone to think about it, and even after they won in Green Bay on Saturday night, because Yeah, there was an acknowledgement that the Browns could win, and we knew what the recent history was. But until you actually saw it, you couldn't really think, allow yourself to think about the possibility. So you're very simply asking yourself, what is the best approach to try to win this game on Sunday night? And I do think it is fascinating because of everything you just said, but there's also the element of if Lamar really wants to play. And he's out there practicing, but it looks okay, but not great. That is a kind of a tough question there because you also, he's your franchise quarterback. And this almost goes back to, it's funny, it kind
Yeah,
of
you don't want your
reminds.
season to go down with a backup quarterback playing, right? We
Well,
dealt with that in Cincinnati a couple of years ago,
but
right?
there's also the big picture element of if Lamar is healthy enough that he wants to play, feels he's ready to play, but it doesn't look great. How do you approach that as an organization, knowing that you also have a contract negotiation coming up here in the next few months? And I know people will say, an old school person would say that shouldn't matter. It's going to matter in the same way that it, you know what it reminds me of a little bit? It's, it just popped into my head. It kind of reminds me of the 2018 wild card game when Lamar was and the Ravens were just completely lost on offense. I mean, just like a disaster. And Joe Flacco's standing there on the sideline and there was an argument to be made that what do you
You know,
see?
it was like bad news bears. You know, put
Right.
them in, put them
But
in, let
you
them
also
play.
but I think there was also a long-term play there at work that would have said, what's this say to your guy to
Yeah.
your guy moving forward if you just benched him in his first playoff game? This isn't exactly like that, but there's like it's a similar kind of like a conflicted feeling, I think, if Lamar is healthy enough that he says he's ready to go, but you're kind of looking at it and it kind of reminds you of what he looked like, say, against Cleveland, when they needed the Mark Andrews hurricane play to win the game, right? Because Lamar just didn't look very good in that game. So like it's that's it makes a you know a there's a different storyline here with that does complicate things. And oh yeah, let's also not shy away from the fact that Lamar doesn't have the greatest history in terms of his performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers over the years. Now, if TJ Watt's not out there, that's certainly a different element for Pittsburgh's defense, of course. But it's I guess it's a long way of saying it's a little more complicated than just is he healthy enough to play, yes or no? How does he look? Because there is a thought to say maybe Snoop Huntley is the better option for you for this game
Well, I
if it's
saw how
a
he played on Saturday night. It was good
sure.
enough to give you a chance to win this Saturday, Sunday night,
Yeah, and
right?
that's the thing. Is Snoop Huntley good enough to give you a chance to win the Super Bowl or to make a deep January run? No, I'm just
Snoop
not going to
Huntley's
say
not good
that.
enough to
But
bring you back from
for
13
a
points
game.
down
Yeah.
because somebody has fumbled or the
Yeah.
ball goes over Marlon Humphrey's head on every set of downs.
Yeah.
And I don't know that the ball can go over the head of anybody
Sure.
this week, given how Huntley throws the ball and what Rodgers has to throw to. But I don't know, man. I saw Rodgers throwing darts on that last drive down the field with everything on the line again, getting them down to the goal line for those three plays where they couldn't get it done. But they were on the cusp of winning the game. I mean, I still sense some danger anytime Aaron Rodgers is out there because he's going to identify your defense and put
Well,
his
and
offense into a play to beat you.
That's where I go back to what the Ravens defense looked like on Saturday night. And now, this is a major caveat because they did this and they deserve credit for this. The shutout in Cincinnati aside, I'm not sure I've really loved the direction the Ravens defense has gone over the last month, right? I mean, we saw them get on a roll during the 5-game winning streak, and obviously they were beating up on J.J. McCarthy and Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and Tyrod Taylor and go down the list. But
Aaron Rodgers is going to give them fits with matchups on
I
Sunday
mean,
night.
I don't know if I don't know who Aaron Rodgers is throwing the football to, but I suspect he's going to be able to diagnose what they're trying to do. Now, that doesn't mean that he and whoever he's throwing to will be able to execute and literally make the plays, but I will suspect that he's going to be able to figure out some of what they're trying to do. And
By the way, did you see the clip of him last week sending the guy wide? Yeah, just
Yeah,
literally, he was in protection and said, "Go wide
I
and go
mean,
long," and that's that.
I think the other fascinating factor is Look, this is a low bar when you're talking about a team that only scored 6 points on Sunday. But when did Pittsburgh move the ball the best? In 2 minute, right?
Sure,
At
right.
the end of the first
They
half
spread it
and at
out
the end
and
of the second half.
gunslung. Yeah.
And who's running the show at that point in time? It's Aaron Rodgers. So, we've talked about Arthur Smith. I mean,
He's a better offensive coordinator than the offensive coordinator,
I
yeah.
think he is. I mean,
Well, and he's also,
Arthur Smith
he was
looked.
yelling at Arthur Smith about subbing in, like I'm trying to put them on the
It was
run,
kind of
don't
like,
sub. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's proven out here over now Arthur Smith being with multiple teams. He looked a heck of a lot smarter when he had Derrick Henry running the ball in Nashville, right? I mean, that's kind of the story there. So I do wonder with that in mind, as much as it's counterintuitive because they're going to want to try to do all they can to keep Derrick Henry and the Ravens and maybe Lamar Jackson off the field. At the same time, I do wonder if they would be best off kind of going into no huddle and just having Rodgers call the show. I'm not saying that means that they're going to score 30 points. I'm not saying that the Ravens should fear that per se, but man, you kind of look at how Pittsburgh functioned offensively or didn't function offensively. Really, I mean, it was kind of 2 minute was the only part, that to me looked, decent. I mean, they were awful. I mean, that was a really, really bad offensive performance. And I get it. Myles Garrett is Myles Garrett, and Cleveland has a really good defense. And we saw the Ravens struggle against them offensively, right? I mean, when they went to Cleveland 6, 7 weeks ago, whenever it was. I wasn't shocked that Pittsburgh had issues, but to look that inept, that's where you look at that and say, all right, I mean, how are they going to move the ball? But that said, the Ravens just made Malik Willis look like, I don't know, Warren Moon, 2019, Lamar Jackson. I mean, like, that was a it's not a great encouraging performance by the Ravens defense on Saturday night. So, we're going to see how this plays
You've
out. So,
already said you're picking them to win. So I'm
who, the
not dealing with
Ravens?
you. You and I are driving up here and you're going into the
I'm
game.
picking them to
I'm
win,
probably going to watch
but
it at some sports bar with Yinz and that. Like
put it
there's
this way.
it's this week's momentum, dude. We spent all of last week beating Harbaugh up about not running the ball. I'm looking at my statuses. I'm looking at the front of our website. It's amazing how the temperature changes on all of this
Week to week, though. I
and
mean,
how much it's going to change in a thud. For both of these franchises that aren't going to win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you're not thinking that. But
whoever loses.
if the Ravens can go with the backup quarterback and win in Pittsburgh, get Lamar back, play well enough to win against Houston, go to wherever they're going to go, Jacksonville, New England, whoever, wherever it's going to go, and lose that game in some credible fashion that isn't the coach sending Billy Cundiff out with a timeout in his pocket to shank a field goal. Somebody, Mark Andrews, dropping the ball and running out the back door in
Throwing the ball
Jacksonville.
4 times from the 2 yard
Yeah,
line or
any of
something
the
like that.
dumb ish that they've done, if they just play a game that's clean enough that, and they get beaten by a better team, by a Trevor Lawrence, by a young quarterback, by Lamar not being healthy enough, whatever it would be, they have the ability here to salvage this disaster. Disaster. Like for Harbaugh, for DaCosta, for Lamar, for all their embarrassment, for the emptying out of the stadium, for you beating on them 12 times already this week about how lousy they've been at home this year and how having a home game isn't even a benefit to them. They go win it next week. All of that. I hate to be Brian Billick here, but I'm, staring at the Super Bowl star and hearing Brian Billick say, it's all sitting right there for you. Don't let Luke beat on you about your record. Don't let anybody beat up the Henry Harbaugh, Todd Monken thing, or say that Lamar's soft because he's not playing, or whatever. We're in a position to win the division. We're the better team on Sunday night. We feel like we're the better team, even though they kicked our ass 2 weeks ago. Even with our backup quarterback, we feel like we're the better team. Like, I think they can have that confidence to go in there and at least think that.
They
You and I are going
should.
to think that until they play it on Sunday night, whether Lamar plays or whether Lamar doesn't. Because if Lamar plays, to your point, he put himself in. And if he's putting himself in, he feels like he can go do it. And he doesn't want to go out there and not do it and wind up on his back. So This is a thick week, bro. It's thick.
Sure.
It's really
Well,
thick, man.
and to
And
go
you
to
know what's really going to get thick? When you and I are in the stadium and the towels are going and the lights are on, it's going to be real thick. Whether it's
yes.
Snoop or whether it's Lamar, what's at stake? Who gets their feelings hurt? Who gets fired over it on Monday morning?
Yeah, I mean, who's going to weather the early storm, right? I mean,
Backup
who?
quarterback comes in and beats the Steelers and
I
knocks,
mean,
like, I don't know how Tomlin can survive that. I mean, I love Mike, but I don't think.
well, and that would be 10 years then without a playoff win, right? I mean, that's what they're talking about then. So, I mean, it's look, I mean, it's fascinating. And to go back to your point, I mean, who cares what I have to say? I've been wrong a lot this year. I'll continue to be wrong, right? I mean, anyone who sits here and acts like they've got this league figured out, I mean, you're full of it. Look what happens on a weekly basis. I mean, go look at the quote expert picks, right? I mean, we're all trying to figure this out. I mean, the sky was falling last week. Week before that, everyone was feeling great because the Ravens had gone into Cincinnati and shut out Joe Burrow, and then they lost to the Patriots, right? I mean, like, it's so up and down. That's why, like, you know, I just because of what I saw Saturday night doesn't mean that I'm saying Super Bowl back on. They need to win on Sunday night. Are they favored? Yes. Should they be favored? Sure. Do I think the Ravens are going to win? Yeah. But am I going to sit here and say that I have this extraordinary conviction that, okay, they finally got it through their heads to run Derrick Henry all the time, right? I mean, like, it's not quite that simple. And part of that is this wasn't like the formula that they should discover that
It
they should
has
have
to
been using.
work.
Like, that's my point. Earlier in the season and for large chunks of this season, there were plenty of times they gave the ball to Derrick Henry a lot. And guess what was happening? He was getting stuffed. Not because Derrick Henry stinks, but because of their offensive line. So that's why I said, look, Derrick Henry was fantastic on Saturday night. I'm taking nothing away from him. He had the all-time rushing game for an opponent at Lambeau Field. I mean, Lambeau Field, not a stadium that's been open for 20 years or 30 years. Lambeau Field. He set a record there for an opponent. That's massive. And absolutely he deserves his flowers for that. But don't forget the Ravens offensive line that we all love to beat up on. Those guys played their asses off, and the Ravens tight ends. And go look at Patrick Ricard playing a season high in snaps, right? I mean, they're going to try. I think that that's
Dude,
going to
that
be
was
their.
missing in week three, four, five, six when
Sure,
they were getting their ass kicked.
it was. But he's also been back for a long time, and there were other weeks where that didn't look so great, right? So, and the Packers. Keep in mind, the Packers were banged up, and you know they lost the Lamar Jackson to their defense
Dude,
3 weeks
keep
ago,
mentioning
right?
these guys,
It's a
Ricard,
different game.
Stanley, Humphrey, Smith, just down the Andrews. All of these guys ain't won nothing. And they're going to chin
Sure.
strap this up and come out on Sunday night and have it all on the line against a team that this is winnable. This is not Hines Ward. This isn't even TJ Watt. This is not any of that. So the stakes are different if you go up there and you don't win, even though they're supposed to win with their backup quarterback on the road in mighty Pittsburgh. I mean, we're making it sound too easy because we watched them
It's not
play this
easy.
weekend
Yeah.
and the temperature, the thermometer is always how it feels lately. But I know all the way back to last week when Santa came down the chimney and we did all of that, you know, the temperature was completely opposite. It's
Yeah, Drake Ray or Drake May ripped their heart out a week ago, right? I mean, it's a week to week league. I mean, it
and they
really
refuse
is.
to run the ball with Derrick Henry. And the same thing this week that the Steelers are going to get the whole time. You've already been Arthur Smith throwing the ball down in the end zone three times, throwing that stupid end zone go on fourth and one,
I couldn't
instead of
believe
just
that. I mean, I couldn't believe that.
like you're
To
moving the
Scotty Miller.
ball. What are you
Yeah.
doing?
I mean, it was bizarre
Every
how
other
they.
team in the league would have put five asses up on a line of scrimmage and tush pushed it and gotten a first down and lived for four more downs. Instead, they're going low percentage end zone, throw a fly. Like, what kind of
I see.
gunslinging garbage was that?
Although I honest to goodness, I was texting with my pastor even when that
Is
happened.
this the Steeler
And
fan,
yeah,
Pastor?
he's a Pittsburgh fan,
Hi,
and
Father. How are you? Happy New Year.
not father, just pastor.
Pastor, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I'm just clarifying. But you see it every week in the league, though. I mean, I see third and one, fourth and one plays where teams throw deep, and it's one of those things where I just think it's like what happened to the Ravens at the end of the Patriots game. You overthink things when you when you really break it down, it's a basic game. I mean, it really is. Of course, it's complicated, and that anyone who's listening right now, and you and I, what we understand a scheme is just a tiny fraction of what these guys fully grasp. But those are the spots where I look at it and say, you just completely overthought that situation, right? I mean, it's just, but that said, it's a different game, and that's also the team that went into Pitts or went into D Detroit and, beat the Lions. The Ravens are the team that has lost six games at home this year, right? I mean, even though it's in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, but it speaks to the vulnerability and the inconsistency and the fact that they're not that good. I mean, it's 9-7 against 8-8 here. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's two mediocre teams fighting it out to win a mediocre division, right? And they're going to get a chance. Whoever's going to win is going to get a
In a
chance.
mediocre conference.
Yeah,
For
sure.
now.
Sure.
For
I
now.
mean, yeah.
Not going to convince me Jacksonville, Denver, New England are power
Unproven.
teams,
I
or
think
the
we need to say
Chargers are a power team,
unproven. I mean, we are talking about teams that are 13-3, right? I mean, it's not like the number one seed has an 11-6 record, right? I mean, I think New England's really good. I mean, I just do, and we saw it firsthand last Sunday night. I mean, Drake May, whether he's going to be MVP or second or third, I mean, he's. I think the Patriots have one. After their 5 long years of suffering without Tom Brady, I think they've got their next guy. But they're unproven, right? I mean, the entire field is unproven now with Kansas City out of it. I mean, the proven guy that did it once 15 years ago is Aaron Rodgers on a team that where he has nobody to throw to, right? I mean, and that's assuming they even get in, if they get in. I mean, it's Denver, it's New England, it's Jacksonville, it's Houston. Houston's been in, but they don't have a whole lot of success. They beat the Chargers last year. That's it. So and
with that
Buffalo.
defense.
I think Houston. That's
We'll
why
talk about that next week.
I
If the
said
Ravens, Ravens
if
get
the
all their
Ravens
lunch.
win and they're playing the Texans, I mean
We're gonna
that's
have a lot to talk about next week either way. I mean,
sure. Oh
literally,
yeah. I mean
we're gonna be
we're
talking about really bad things happening and this whole thing coming off. Yeah, we'll be talking about how bad they played at home this year if there's no home game next week.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you want to have that opportunity. You want to at least have the opportunity to lose to the Texans
Well, that's the
in the
thing
first
here,
round.
man. As bad as
Don't
they've
even get
been
to
all
it.
year long, as disappointing as they've been, as many times as people have thrown dirt on them, although I never have, I still go back to like what I believe, and this is my 40 years of doing this, dude, is the pedigree of what they have if they get into a gunfight against Trevor Lawrence. We'll find out. Maybe Trevor Lawrence is the guy he was at Clemson, and maybe this is about parts, and maybe it's about their coach going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's Liam Cohen. I don't know.
Right.
But this is where bones are made, and guys like Harbaugh who've are playing to try to go to a Hall of Fame, every guy on his team has won nothing. Literally, they've won nothing. None of them. And
And his ring has a ton of dust on it at this point in time. I mean, let's just call, it's 13
I'm
years
happy to
ago.
put some tarnish on it if you want to
No,
go
I
to
mean,
a Mile
I'm
High
just saying. I mean,
Miracle and
and that's the thing. I mean, they're more experienced than a lot of these other teams, but they're more experienced in January failure than these other teams. So I still think, this goes back to a couple weeks ago, probably after the Pittsburgh loss, and we were kind of talking about it then. I mean, when they were kind of circling the drain at that point, and I still think what happened in week one on the heels of an entire offseason to think about what happened in Buffalo and then it happened in Buffalo again right off the bat. I still think that's something that mentally is a hurdle that I'm not sure they've gotten over, right? I mean, I just, and I'm not saying that's the, by no means is that the sole reason why they're 8-8. I'll continue to go back to let's not lose the headline of why they're 8-8 is because their two-time MVP quarterback got hurt in week three and really hasn't been right since then. He's only missed four games, but we haven't seen full, healthy, generational, dynamic Lamar Jackson since the beginning of the season. And that's not to say that that guy won't come back in 2026, but with the back injury now, on top of all the other leg injuries, it's like, what exactly is that going to look like? Whether he plays Sunday, whether he plays the wild card round, whether they get a, you know, if they get eliminated, it'll just be a hypothetical. But But that said, they've got a chance to make the playoffs Sunday night, go win, and then you see what happens, right? I can't lie to you and say that I have belief or much confidence in this team's ability to make a January run, but starts out with a win, right? Starts out with another win, then starts out with another win, and then before you know it, at that point you're in the AFC Championship, and then who the heck knows after that, right? Or you go to Pittsburgh on Sunday night and you turn the ball over three times, and Tyler Huntley has to play because Lamar's not ready, and Pittsburgh has answers for him that Green Bay didn't, and you lose, and the season's over, right? I mean, like, the
Well, I think
possibilities
that's
here
the
are.
case for all of these teams, you know, where Jacksonville is on the precipice of Duvaling, and they have this whole European thing that they could tap into if they ever didn't suck.
Sure.
And where New England is now, sort of back and expected to win, especially if they get a week off, and the Chargers and the Texans sort of coming on, like, where is that road team going to break through and go on the road and win a little bit here and do something? And Buffalo, by the way, I can't recommend anything about the defense. I can't recommend them on the road. And I can't recommend sort of a banged up Josh Allen. You mentioned not having tools and not having weapons and stuff. Yeah, watching him through this period, he's such a great player, man. Like, I mean, he's fun to watch. He really is. And he's got a way about him for sure, for that community and for everything they're trying to do up there. But doesn't feel like it's their year. You know, it doesn't feel like they're going to go three
I
in a
don't
row and win
know.
on the road. And with that defense, it's just where it feels like, you know, Houston's got a young quarterback with a guy who's done it in the collegiate level and moving through this. And they got a defense that could steal games. You know what I mean? Defense to me, I like defense this time of year. I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're really quick to write off Buffalo. I mean,
Okay.
they lost by 1 point to Philadelphia, who, by the way, is the defending Super Bowl champ, and their defense has looked really, really
The way
good
they
of late.
stormed back in that game, it was
You know,
really it, the weather looked like something on a movie set, dude, with the water. It was
yeah, I mean, I'm,
crazy.
but I guess, you know, the point I'm trying to, I mean, Buffalo had just won four in a row. I mean, look, I'm, let me be clear. This isn't me saying that I think Buffalo is like the favorite and is just going to roll through the AFC, but I'm not
And
certainly
you
put.
think Josh Allen can go down to Jacksonville and just take a game over? I
Yeah.
would go. I'll hear all that, but
Yeah.
they got to play defense. And I mean, games with turnovers and weird stuff that's going to happen in these
I
playoff
mean, they
games
gave up
where.
13 points on Sunday, man. I mean, you know, I mean, I believe me, I'm not saying they have a great defense, but I remember everyone completely, you know, whatting on their defense last year, and well, they seemed to hold the Ravens in check in the divisional round, right? I mean, so who knows? I mean, but
Are
your
you
point,
happier about seeing the Texans next week or the Bills
mean,
if
I'm not,
the Ravens win? Ooh, right.
I'm not, I can't say that I'm excited about seeing either one of them, because I don't think the Ravens are very good. I think Houston's defense is a major problem, especially if you're, I mean, if the Ravens are just relying on Derrick Henry at this point in time. I think that's, I don't want to say that's easy to stop, but how many Super Bowls did the Titans win just relying on Derrick Henry? You know what I mean? Like, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to do other things. So, you know, that's why it's that much more important that Lamar Jackson, one, gets back, and two, you know, hopefully can look like he did pre-back injury, because the couple weeks leading into that, it was looking better, right?
Or
They're
that they
off.
don't fall behind where they have to throw the football
Yeah,
at this
I mean, you're
juncture.
going to have to
And
throw.
you'd
I mean,
like
you
to
got to.
think that that won't happen against the Steelers unless you cough the
Right.
ball up three times and you're losing 17 to nothing somehow, you
I mean,
know?
you have to be able to throw the football, but yeah, you don't want to be. Of course, you don't want to be in a script where you're down 10, or, you know, I mean, no one wants to be in that position, as I've said over and over the years. But yeah, you would certainly not love their capability of being able to do that. But that's why, I mean, they've got to stay on schedule, and that's why it's important to run Derrick Henry and run Derrick Henry and run Derrick Henry some more. And you know, one thing I want to, you know, because we didn't talk in too many specifics about the game. Because we're already a couple days removed and everything that happened Sunday with Cleveland. But I like the fact that they deviated from their rotation. There were even a couple series that weren't, quote, Derrick Henry series, where he came back on the field for a third and short situation. I've said all year long, look, Derrick Henry can't carry the ball 36 times every week, right? He would have, if you did that, he'd be done by Thanksgiving, right? He'd just be worn down. Even you have to think about workload, load management, how many times a guy's touching the ball, all that, right? I mean, even for someone who has carried the ball like it's 1975 in his career, right? Compared to most running backs today. So I completely understand that. But, you know, you kind of look at this thing in terms of, all right, it's go time now. And if it's third and short, doesn't mean Derrick Henry must get the ball every single time when it's third and short. And we've said that all year long. But for me, how you don't have him on the field in those situations, even if it's Lamar keeping it, or in this case, Tyler Huntley keeping it, or you throw a quick hitter to Andrews or a quick hitter to Likely, or something, you know, you throw it to, I don't know, Zay Flowers on a shallow cross or on a third and short, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be Derrick Henry every single time on third and short, but you know what it should be every single time? Him on the field being a threat to run the ball every single time. And that's the part for me that over the course of the season I just didn't get. It made zero sense to me for it to be third and one, third and two, third and three, and Justice Hill comes into the game. You know, obviously pre-Justice Hill injury, or Rasheen Ali comes into the game there. So I like the fact that Saturday night felt like a much more, hey, let's tighten this up and like let's use our heads a little bit rather than just this predetermined rotation, this autopilot way of handling our personnel. So I'm hoping that's something that's here for good. But that said, coaches, players, I mean, like, there's a lot of thinking. You know, we talked about it with Pittsburgh on Sunday, throwing deep on fourth and one. It's a lot harder to do it from the sideline or to do it even from the booth when you have 40 seconds in between each play and you've got, what, 50 or 25 seconds to communicate with your quarterback. So, you know, when the bullets are flying, it's way easier said than you and I talking about it, you know, the next day or 2 days later. You know, the Monday morning quarterbacking thing. Yeah, it's way easier to talk about it in those terms. So we'll see how they handle that environment on Sunday night in Pittsburgh. And of course, just like it was in Green Bay, it's going to be critical for them to get an early lead so you can lean into a defense with Derrick Henry in the ground game once again.
Yeah, Jerome Bettis's bar is now a Jason Aldean, so I definitely don't want to sit in a country bar watching this game. Luke and I are driving up to Pittsburgh on Sunday night. One of us will be in the WNST Baltimore Positive press box seat, pressed up to the glass. I wonder what kind of roast Mr. Rooney's going to have on a buffet. Please get some cookies for me. If nothing else, if I drive you up to Pittsburgh on Sunday night, whether they win or lose, there better be peanut butter cookies involved. Oatmeal and raisin, too. They make them nice up there. We got a whole full week of this nonsense. We'll begin in this year and we'll end in next year. And we're off to Pittsburgh yet again for fun. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Hope everybody's got a little bit of pumpkin pie left over. I know I do, and some eggnog. We're going to need it. We got a big football game on Sunday night. It's fun. It's Baltimore Positive.